You are listening to the Alouettes Flight Deck, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
All right, folks, we've been cleared for takeoff.
Give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now and give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now, get ready to go. She ain't moving slow, she's taking control. Pushing the pedal through the floor. I'm begging for more, you better hold on tight.
And welcome to the Alouettes Flight Deck. I'm Tim Capper, along with Cliffy D. What's up?
Season two has finally arrived for the Alouettes Flight Deck, and Tim, I am beyond excited.
It's been a long time, I will admit. February. We can blame it on me. I don't care. We can blame it on me. It's, you know, my thought is that a lot of these guys can do more than one podcast, or, you know, like Rick Moffat here in Montreal can do both the Alouettes and do the Impact and the preparation that he does. If he can do it, why can't I? Does that mean I'm lazy?
No, I wouldn't necessarily lazy. I just think sometimes I think I feel like I just got to pull you into CFL mode a little bit. I respect the Arena League and everything that you do for it, but every once in a while, I think I might have to just kind of grab you by the old shirt tail there and just pull you in and say, hey, yo, Alouettes Nation needs us. Yes. We got to answer the call.
Yes. Don't pull me too hard. You know, the shirts, they're maybe a little bit pricey, but, you know, I'm like... it's either that, and if you don't stop, then I'm going to have to think of, you know, taking other measures. I know you don't want to have a that joke bombed. Anyways, let's continue. how was your offseason? I know we were in there, some things did happen in February that we talked about with the change of head coach and new quarterback, et cetera, but besides that, how was your offseason?
Pretty exciting. I mean, how can you not be excited about the potential of a new football season? I mean, again, I always laugh because I can't stand the whole is it June yet thing, because I just think it's overplayed. But at the same time, it does kind of creep in. You're like, man, is this season ever going to start? And then when training camp finally gets underway and you're just so excited and just be able to talk about it with other people. And this leads into perfectly, I don't know if you've been made aware, Tim, but we are now part of a very exclusive network. That would be the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
Yes. Yes, the guys, I guess it was the guys, more than the guys over at Piffle's Pop, but I think we got the props to them specifically for setting this up. The Canadian Football Podcast Network, by the way, which is on Twitter at CFL Pod Network.
Actually, CF Pod Network.
Sorry, CF Pod Network. See, that's how new it is. It is something that was put together to encompass all of the podcasts throughout the CFL podcast family, which is why I guess that's the old term that we used to call ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's now a group. We've been all grouped together over at Piffle's Pod. I think it's piffle'spod.com. But I think if you go over to Twitter, you're also able to keep track of it that way also. But, you know, give love to the other guys across the country. Also, big props out today, something that very surprises quite a bit. Getting props from the CFL, specifically, that we were all mentioned on the front page of the CFL website, at least as of this taping, under their section of the Snap, I think it's called. Basically, a promotion of all of us, listing us from A to Z. If you want to, it only talks about iTunes, though. But you know, everybody knows that. I think if you listen to a certain podcast or for quite a bit, you know that they are in alternate locations like we are also. So it's but hey, I mean, it's great idea, great logo. It's a way to bring everybody together. To have multiple podcasts from across the country, that would be such a novel idea. Yeah. Novel idea.
Yeah, and the fact that just about every CFL team is represented. There was at one point, it looked like it was going to be all but one team missing. And lo and behold, we're back to that spot, because for the longest time, every CFL team, with the exception of the Toronto Argonauts, had a fan-based podcast.
Yeah.
And finally, the Argos get one. And then what happens? Bleed Redbacks decide to jump ship, which is unfortunate. I understand they've got personal stuff they got to get taken care of and all that, but I really hope that someone else can step up and sort of assume that role. I mean, you don't have to be Bleed Redblacks, but... I mean, if you want to be part of the CFL podcast family, the Canadian Football Podcast Network, I mean, like I said, the more the merrier. And again, this is the time to do it. Social media has exploded. Podcasting has really grown by leaps and bounds, especially in the Canadian Football League. There's so much great content out there, so many great podcasts. I like to think we're kind of part of that as well. So, by all means,
we are a podcast. We do talk to the CFL. We are a newbie. We haven't grown as much as some of the others, but we're always looking at getting better. So that's the main thing. So,
and that's what season 2 is all about.
Yeah,
getting bigger, getting better. Yep. And I'll tell you right now, the lunatic, I'm going to make a bold prediction right now. We're going to hear less and less of the lunatic. For those of you who aren't knowing exactly what I'm talking about, every time either myself or Tim lets loose with a little bit of the adult language, our friendly little lunatic comes along and plays a little noise. So, again, that happens. Sometimes we get caught up in the moment of things, and yeah, maybe we need to tone it down a little bit. Maybe not have the lunatics show up so often, but if it happens, it happens, right?
Well, of course. I mean, but, you know, if they're able to basically do as they do over at Eskimos Empire and you know, the Fire Trucker, mm-hmm. you know, screw it, we're doing it.
Good call.
It's the 2016 offseason, you know, it has been a very... There are many words that we could use to describe this offseason because, you know, basically the Alouettes have become one of the franchises that teams want to be in the CFL to a hot mess. I think it's the best way to describe it. Obviously, things got a little bit better with the changes in the president, in head coaching, picking up Darian Durant. But there were still a few things during the offseason that were kind of an issue, don't you think?
Mm. Well, change is inevitable, as they say. And especially, too, when you get a brand new general manager in, he's going to want to put his imprint on the team. He's going to want to make it his own team. And more often than not, that usually means getting rid of all the things that either you don't agree with or getting rid of the sort of staples, if you will, of the old regime.
Right.
And I think that's what Kavis had sort of done, for better or for worse. Whether these moves pay off in the long run or right away, I mean, we'll find out in the coming weeks as this football season gets underway. But there was definitely a lot of hard feelings, I think, with the fan base, because a lot of the very popular players were either let go or allowed to sign somewhere else. So, I mean, it's tough. I feel for Kavis in the sense that it's not easy to let certain players go or not sign certain players because we know just how much they were beloved here in Montreal.
Right.
But you have to believe, if this is the guy that's in charge, you have to believe that every move that he's making, whether you agree with it or not, has to be for the betterment of the Montreal Alouettes football team. And by and large, yeah, I'm disappointed too that names like SJ Green or Alan Michael Cash, or as we found out during day 2 of training camp, Bear Woods, are essentially shown the door. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but if Kavis really believes that the people that he's brought in, such as Ernest Jackson, Darian Durant, and others, if this is what it's going to take to end our 7-year drought now for a Grey Cup, if he truly believes that this is these are the moves that have to be made in order to get back to the Grey Cup game, then you've got to have faith. You've got to have faith that the moves that he's making are the right ones.
Don't you find that we need to get back to the playoffs first, though? I mean, you can't get to the Grey Cup if you don't get to the playoffs, and I think that's been one of the things that the Alouettes have really been lacking this past couple of years. I mean, we've had many issues at quarterback. I think we have finally, it seems to be, you know, even with a scare in the preseason to Darian Durant, that we have found our quarterbacks. You know, but I find what's very interesting just this past offseason, it's, you know, even though Toronto was able to, they were so far behind, picking up general manager, you know, Jim Popp, and being able to bring in Mark Trestman again, unfortunately, the Alouettes are having to deal with what I'm calling the Trestman effect. It really is. I mean, it's, everybody seems to be joking that the, you know, that Toronto is the Argo, you and I were talking about this earlier, it was either the Alouettes, mm-hmm. or the Argoettes.
Yep.
I thought that was their cheerleaders. The Argonauts.
Yeah, so that's where I'd probably go with Alunauts, just to sort
of... Alunauts. Yeah, we have to put us first, I guess. Is all these things going to come back to bite us in the ass? I mean, obviously, it's not something I can root... I can't root against Mark Trestman. He's a great head coach. He did wonders for here. But he's now the enemy. Coach Pop is now the enemy for the first time in 21 seasons. He is the enemy.
Mm-hmm. It's, like I said, uncharted territory for us, for sure. I mean, like I said, for many people for the past 20 years. Like, Jim Pop is the only general manager this football team has ever known. So, yeah, it's definitely going to take some getting used to. You're absolutely right. Mark Trestman did absolutely amazing things in his 5 years here in Montreal. And it's... I understand. It's kind of a blow to see those two, both of them, go over to Toronto and essentially be tasked with rebuilding that organization and making them relevant again. It's a bit of a bitter pill to swallow, but part of me is also saying we got to keep moving forward. And like I said, it comes all back to what we were talking about, whether Kavis Reid is the man for this job or not. Like I said, the moves that he's made, not the most popular ones, not the sexiest moves per se, but he addressed the biggest needs of this team. The biggest things that people were complaining about, as far as not having a steady quarterback and an offensive line that can be porous at best, he addressed those things by and large. And yeah, I have to believe, as great as Pop and Trestman were for us back in the day, I think it's time to look forward. I mean, I'm confident in what Shaq Chaplin can do as head coach of this football team. And with each passing day, I'm much more confident with what Kavis Reid is doing.
What does it seem to be when it comes to the Alouettes and releasing players that have just come off of a major injury and they go on to thrive with other teams? You know, we obviously, SJ is up in the air. We don't know what's going to happen with him. Another good example is Avon Colburn. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a major surgery. I think it's been so long ago. The knee, I think, if I remember correctly. And he's gone on to do great things with the Argos. What is it with the Alouettes and them dropping these players to basically say, oh, you're hurt? We really don't have confidence in, or our doctors don't have confidence and don't think that you should be playing, or you don't think, or you're basically not 100%.
When I spoke with Kavis Reid during training camp, and we talked about some of these moves, and I, like I said, I did express to him, like, as a supporter of this team, it's understandable that fans aren't going to be very happy with these moves. I understand these moves have to be made, and I asked him, like, how does that feel knowing that you're going to be looked at as the guy who let an SJ Green go, or let Al Michael Cash go, or any of these great players? And he said it's that whole Bill Belichick philosophy of you're better to let someone go a year too soon than a year too late. And I think with Kavis, he's had a chance to evaluate a lot of these guys. And I really think that was his mindset, was that, yeah, they can still be great. They can still do amazing things. But given whether it's injury issues or a little bit older or just any number of reasons, It really just comes down to, I think it's a calculated risk that you have to, whether you keep these guys or let them go. And I think in Kavis's case, he's got to have confidence in the people he's brought in, saying that if these guys aren't going to be the guys anymore, then you got to bring in the right people first and foremost. But also, it does take that kind of courage to be able to say, you know what, I'm really sorry, SJ Green, you're a hell of a player, you're a Montreal legend, but we just don't feel 100% confident that you're going to be the SJ Green of old. So best of luck to you. I hope you find something else. And he did. And here we are. It's a tough thing for any football fan to go through, to watch your favorite player, someone who you bought his jersey, been cheering him on for years, you watched him win championships with your team, and now he's playing for the opposition. So it's a tough thing.
I mean, which is my case. I now have to go. I bought the Al's third jersey with SJ's number on the back when AC retired. I'm like, crap, man. Now I got to buy another one. Well, the question is who?
Or, as some fans have told me, they're just going to leave their jersey blank because...
I can't wear a blank jersey. You know how crappy that looks? I'm sorry. There's no way.
Well, and you can always paint it as your... I always like to say, people always ask me, who's my favorite Alouette? I said, I'm like, I've got 46 favorite Alouettes. So I couldn't put all of their numbers on one jersey. So leave me a blank.
You could.
I suppose you could. You could go like 0 to 9 like that and make it kind of, hey, I'm so-and-so's favorite player. Yeah. But I don't know. I think a blank jersey kind of would sit, represent the fact that you are for the team, not necessarily just for one player.
I can't. Jerseys without numbers are ugly. I'm so sorry. I mean, I respect those who want to just wear them, but you have to wear something. You have to have a number on it.
There you go, folks. That's a hot take.
You know what? Yeah. Yeah, cute. So it's either that or just wear one of the old ones, which I'm going to do. I'm going to go by the standby. I had a couple of friends who were like, you know what? I'm just going to get one that has AC on it. Or I'm going to get one that has Cahoon's number on it because, you know, they're legends. Hmm. You know? So.
Absolutely. In fact, actually at the preseason game, I actually did see someone wearing a third jersey. The third jersey, the alternate jersey, whatever you want to call it, had Calvillo on it. Anthony Calvillo never wore that jersey.
Hmm.
But, obviously, guy's a big AC fan, clearly, as we all are, and decided to, if he's going to buy that jersey, he's going to throw Calvillo's name and number on it, even if AC never wore
it. Those are faux pas, though. Even that, too. I know a lot of people, and a friend of Chris Kramer specifically, I know he's a real, when it comes to uniforms and stuff like that, seeing that type of stuff, it's like, I'm sure that irks a few people. It's like, he never played in that jersey? What do you mean? I wonder if it was one of those Chinese specials.
Ooh, yes.
Yes. Sure, AC, game worn? No. No. So, any Owls fans, let me know. You can find me on, you can send it to us on our Twitter account over at Alouettes FL Deck. Let us know. Let me know. Who should I get?
Ooh, we should do a poll.
On the Owls. Not your team if you're not an Alouettes fan.
Yeah, we're not putting Bo Levi Mitchell's name on an Alouettes jersey.
Well, we're foreshadowing. You know, if you think about it, you know, Kevin Glenn, he's, you know, his jersey became a hot commodity once again. I mean, he's starting again. Right, he's back right where he came from. So it's, I don't know. Okay, now I wasn't able to attend much of it this year. We're going to go over it real quickly. Give us a little bit of when it, you know, some musings about camp. I know you said you're talking to Kavis Reed. I know you were there quite a bit. I know you weren't there as much as you were last year, but that's just due to scheduling and whatnot. But what was it compared this year's camp, the 2017 camp, to the 2016 camp? Differences?
Well, one of the big differences would be when they had two-a-days, usually it would have two sessions, one right after the other, starting in the morning. But this year they did a morning session, there was a bit of a break, and then an afternoon session, which if you were attending that whole day, it's kind of weird because, yeah, you get there at the crack of dawn and players are up and ready to go. And then after 10:30, 11 o'clock, they retreat back to the dressing room, probably grab a quick shower, a little bite to eat, maybe go over some film. And then they back out at 2:30, 3 o'clock-ish. So it's that time in between that you're like, okay, well, I'm here in Sherbrooke, and how am I going to kill some time? So that was a bit of an interesting dichotomy there.
Could be worse. I mean, you could be BC and then being in Kamloops.
That's true. Or Saskatoon for the Riders
camp. That's right, yeah. Yeah, we all can't be Ottawa and Hamilton and Toronto.
Yeah, everybody practicing in their own stadium.
Edmonton, Calgary, yeah.
And this is something I'd like to, just a bit of a mini rant, if you will. And I've heard other fans talk about this as well, so I'm clearly not the only one who feels this way. How do they not have at least one day of Alouettes training camp at Percival Molson Stadium? If I had my way, day one, just to stoke the fires, get everybody excited, remind everybody about Alouettes football, because you go through the winter and you just watch the Canadians put together another sorry ass performance on the ice. All you're thinking about is, okay, is it June yet? Is it time for football? How can I get my football fix?
Right.
Why not have training camp day one, which is always on a Sunday, at Percival Molson Stadium? Make it an open house. Get some food trucks in. Get all the merch out. Give everyone that in the Montreal area a chance to really get to see Montreal Alouettes football. Don't make them trek all the way out to Bishop's University, which, again, I will say is a very, very nice facility in a very quaint little town. But let's face it, only the hardcore fans are really going to make that trek. They're the only ones who are going to get up at the crack of dawn to go and watch an Alouettes practice. Mm-hmm. Why not? And again, props to the Alouettes this year for starting the training camp at 3 p.m., giving you plenty of time to get out to Sherbrooke. But why not do day one, at least day one, at Percival Molson Stadium? Don't tell me that the McGill has stuff going on that day. They don't. They don't. Not this particular time of year. Why not open it up, let the fans get that experience, get the juices flowing for them, so that they get excited for these preseason games. And you don't have like 12,000 people in the stands. I almost say you sell it out like you do for New Mosaic Stadium. But get the fans excited again. Remind them about how great football is. To me, I don't know. To me, I just feel that would be the best possible way to just sort of stoke that flame, that football flame, if you will.
Well, I kind of agree with you in such a way, but I was actually there. It's funny. 10 years ago, the Owls did this. I'm looking at it right now on my YouTube page, the video that I shot for that day. So it was June. Actually, that's hilarious, actually. It was actually 3 days ago. June 17th of 2007, they did it. That's exactly what they did. It really didn't draw. And now, mind you, to be fair, it was during preseason, you know, during the camp period. So it wasn't the very first day. Things have changed in 10 years, but when you have a team that's been there and was doing so well as they were in 2007, and I just think it's just a matter of travel, because then they have to go back. The only way that I could see this is if they built their own facility here in Montreal, which they really do need, even though they are allowed to practice at the big stadium again this year. Yay! So they don't have to truck all the way over to St. Hubert. It's a good idea, but I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't, because you have all the facilities there in Sherbrooke, so it's...
Well, I definitely agree. Like, having it overall there is a good thing. I'm just saying, like, just day one, if nothing else.
It's an idea. I don't think they're going to do it, because I said it's been 10 years. They did it once. They haven't done it again.
Well, if anyone from the front office is listening, give it some thought. It's been 10 years. A lot, like Tim said, a lot's changed in 10 years.
A lot's changed in 10 years, yeah. Including the stadium. Actually, 6 years ago, yes, today. Today? 6 years ago today, I think. The Owls debuted the brand new, and I'm putting this in quotation marks, Percival Molson.
Mm-hmm.
Current setup that it currently is in. So, it took 10 years just to do that.
The wheels of progress turn, but sometimes turn a little slow.
Yep. But, I mean, overall with camp, I mean, from what you saw, noticeable differences from obviously Jim Popp being head coach to this year and Coach Chapdelaine and how things were run?
I think there was a pretty good difference. I mean, again, this is Jacques Chapdelaine's chance to really run the show, and he's taken full advantage of it. The one thing I did notice a lot, though, and I thought was really fascinating, was actually on the defensive coaching side. Talking a little bit with Noel Thorpe, I noticed that he's got his assistants now. Now he's got Jason Hogan, Greg Quick, and the recently retired Billy Parker.
Billy Parker, yeah.
Now as a coach. And I'd asked him, like, I couldn't help but notice that of those three gentlemen, all their titles say defensive assistant. They don't have, like, a particular coach sort of designation.
Right.
And I'd asked Noel, is there any particular reason for this? Like, are you sort of just, like, to me, it just felt like, okay, we know Greg Quick is a linebacking coach and has been for many years. Billy Parker is just, you know, automatic defensive backs coach.
Yeah.
But Jason Hogan, like, is he running the defensive line or what's happening with that? So Noel told me that there is no designation because he wants everybody to be ingrained in the entire defense, if you will.
Right.
Like, he is taking more of a leadership role in the sense that he's not just delegating everything. Like, he's getting in there and getting his hands dirty, and he wants all three of his assistant coaches doing that as well. So everybody's doing a little bit of everything, was what he told me. So it makes it very interesting because, again, like, you think right away, Billy Parker, one of the best defensive backs in this league has ever seen. So naturally, it's easy to think that he'll be great as a coach. But again, he's still learning how to be a coach as well. So I think by having him handle some of that, handling some of the linebacking, assignments and everything like that, it gives him a chance to sort of open himself up. Same thing for Jason Hogan and for Greg Quick as well, because Greg Quick, also a former defensive coordinator for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, why not expand yourself? Why not make yourself as multifunctional as possible with this? So I sort of get, that was one of the things I sort of took away from the camp as well. It was just, it's a chance for everybody to grow and be better, to sort of evolve, if you will. So I found it kind of interesting. Offensively, I mean, most of those positions were pretty well set in stone, and that's fine. So that works for the offense. And in a way, you kind of want to have that kind of stability as far as positional coaches and what all they exactly bring to the table. Whereas with defense, I mean, this defense is just absolutely mind-blowing year after year. So, I mean, if this is what Noel Thorpe wants to do, I think we definitely owe him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, considering both you and I will agree, he was literally this close from leaving. I mean, it's, so as long as the defense stays the same, man, you know, if we can get ourselves an offense, we'll be fine. I think it's just as long as there aren't too many injuries. So we got to make sure that we keep Durant upright and healthy. Needless to say. Now, were you there the day that he went down?
I wasn't.
No?
No. In fact, it's so sad because it was right after Bear Woods was unceremoniously released from the Alouettes. So just as fans are just sort of getting over that sort of emotional shock, boom, you find out that Darren Durant is planted on the ground and needs to be helped up and has ice around his knee. So immediately, the first thought I had was to our dear friend of the show, Tanner Marsh, who a couple years ago also went down to a knee injury in camp.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he had torn his MCL and was out for a few weeks. Darian, knock on wood, not too severe. A little dinged up more than anything else, and I think he was held out just as a precautionary tale. He didn't play in the first preseason game, but I don't think he would have anyways.
They played it for, we'll talk about this in a couple of minutes, but they played a first preseason game? I wouldn't know. I wasn't able to watch it.
I know. What?
But you know what? Finish your sentence. We gotta talk about this preseason, because that's one of the few things that really pissed me off this year.
No, and again, just knowing that Darian was okay, he's banged up, but he was ended up being okay. I mean, that's a huge sigh of relief, and I really hope it comes down to just keep, like you said, keep Durant healthy. Unfortunately, the injury was caused because of his offensive line kind of backing into him by accident. Again, it's training camp for everybody, right? So that's kind of how you have to look at it. But, I mean, it's just one of those things where your heart just sort of leaps into your mouth like, oh, my God, we just put all of our eggs into this basket. And now you see the little cracks are starting to form. And, oh, not fun.
Yeah. We might as well talk. We'll talk preseason games. You know, it's just the way the CFL did this year where, was it even half of the preseason games that were on television this year? The rest of them were, none of them were even streamed, as far as I know, personally, but like the Tiger Cats did last year. It's really tough to be able to keep track of your, even though they are preseason games, it really is tough to be able to watch how your team is doing and to determine, you know, as a fan, who should be kept, who does well. And you see yourself as a writer for The Alternative. I'm sure that you really cannot base everything on that Rick Moffitt was saying over the radio, because it's not really the same. Especially that first preseason game is like, oh, the game is on? Okay, let me look at my score app and see if they're winning or not. Because that's really all you could go by. Unless you're listening to Rick Moffitt and the gang over at TSN 690. Mm-hmm. I get why they did it, but you know, you have a network that has five channels. Mm-hmm. Why you cannot put it on all games for preseason is mind-blowing to me. I know, and I'm not the only person who thinks this. I know there are a lot of other fans who, I mean, is it a monetary thing? I don't, well, they're the CFL's, you know, they are the national broadcaster. You know, if you're across the world and you're watching some of these games, however many ways that you can this year internationally that's being offered, it's the TSN broadcast. So, yeah, it's, again, it's only preseason as pertaining. We'll talk about the second preseason game at home. So we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But did the CFL do the right thing? It's really a really weird question. I should be asking, should the CFL be putting all games on TV?
I've been saying that for years. It's something
they didn't do it 2 years ago where all of them are on. Was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago where they put them all on?
Longer than that. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was 2011 where they had every single preseason game on TSN.
Okay.
Whether it was TSN 1 or TSN 2, all the games were being shown. So I understand.
And that's two networks compared to the five they have now.
Exactly. You do have five TSN channels now. And there's nothing more frustrating, especially all you want to do is sit down and watch some football, even if it's preseason. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's preseason, it doesn't count, it doesn't matter. I'm like, well, it does matter, actually. If you want to get your football fixed, it matters. If you want to see certain players, especially folks down in the States whose family members are now in training camp, I'm sure they would have loved to have the opportunity to be able to watch them on ESPN 2, 3, 4, however many of those ESPNs they have now on their two.
Yeah, well, three. Actually, they got three of them.
There you go. So, I mean, just don't tell me that there's nothing on TV. Don't tell me that there's something more pressing to be able to watch. I mean, when you got like TSN showing like darts or poker or any of these other sports, like you're telling me those are more important to be broadcasting than like a CFL preseason game? And again, if cost really is a factor, and I still have a hard time believing that, because one of the CFL and TSN's producers was kind of trying to justify that position to, of all people, Nick Lewis, who was very upset.
Very. Yeah, very vocal about it.
Yeah. He wanted to watch some preseason. So when we got players that want to watch preseason football, don't tell me that people don't care about the preseason. Mm-hmm. So, and this wasn't even a game that involved him. This was Calgary versus BC. He has no dog in the fight. He just wants to watch football. We all want to watch football. And then having, like I said, one of the producers sort of try to justify, well, we do this and this compared to the NFL. Like, well, again, it's not the best comparison, because at the end of the day, you talk about local broadcasters, you talk about rights holders, all that jazz. TSN is the only show.
I was about to say, that's really a bad analogy anyways that he was trying to use, considering that most of the NFL preseason games, whether they be played locally or on national TV, which they do for some of them on the major sponsor, major broadcasters, they're still all played on the NFL network.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if for us, it was a grand total of who played the short week? I see that. I know. I do, and I don't care about preseason. But who played the short week to play two games?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember. But obviously, if having nine teams, you have to do that.
Yeah, and also too the fact that, for example, like Calgary or not Calgary, but Winnipeg didn't have either of their preseason games televised at all. So you've got some teams that you get to see once, possibly twice, and that always seems to sort of work out just the way the schedule is, unfortunately. But again, all the more reason why all nine preseason games should be featured on at least one of the TSN networks.
Yeah, you'd hope.
One would hope.
You'd hope.
Maybe one day they'll get it right. I mean, at worst case scenario, do the streaming thing. You know what? Throw it on TSN Go. Even if it's just one single camera just sort of panning back and forth. And you know what? TSN does have cameras there. How do you think that they get those highlights? You think they just fall out of the sky? Someone's got a camera there and they're showing highlights. The teams get to be able to see it. So I'm sorry, this excuse that it costs too much. And okay, fine. If you don't want to pay for play-by-play announcer or anything like that, then you sync it up to the local feed, which, by the way, a lot of TSN radio stations have spots in CFL cities. So put two and two together, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I've seen it too, where if you have a good play-by-play, and I know, I feel for the guys in Toronto this year, because they're not going to have radio play-by-play this year. It's going to all be based off of the TSN broadcast. TV broadcast for radio sucks. Other way around, it actually works a little bit better. I've seen it done more than enough times where a radio streamed online works, because you're able to follow the play-by-play. This is, I think that's going to be a giant cluster. I really do. But anyways, I guess it is what it is. They have their reasons, whatever the hell they are. But whatever.
Do better.
I mean, considering all the streaming options that are out there, come on. Yeah. Even Twitter. I'm surprised the league hasn't gone to Twitter yet.
I mean, does the Arena Football League not have a Twitter game of the week?
As of this year, yes, they signed a small partnership where they're going to have five games on Twitter. But it's pulling from their online streaming service also, that's done on the league website. But still, the amount of people that it can pull in, I haven't seen the numbers, but you can only imagine.
Okay, but the point is, where there's a will, there's a way, would you
not? Right, yeah. They have a national game of the week on CBS Sports Network, and then they have a game of the week streamed.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be Twitter or on their homepage, yeah.
And you know what? I guarantee if you were to put just a streaming feed like that on TSN.ca, tell all the CFL football fans, hey, you want to watch preseason game? Okay, no problem. You're going to have to do it on the computer, and yeah, maybe...
Tiger Cats fans had to do that last year. So, no big deal.
And you know what? No one died. People got to see football. Everybody was happy. So, don't tell me it can't be done. Just save the excuses and just find a way to make it happen.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the game we actually were able to see. This game the past Thursday, the umpteenth many of these Thursday games that we're having this year. It was a half-decent crowd. It was a crowd of about 12,500 that showed up. So I was pretty impressed with that. Sitting again, it was a preseason game.
Preseason game Thursday night, which, again, why are you having preseason games on a Thursday night? Have them on Saturdays. Friday nights, Saturday nights.
I think it goes to scheduling. Scheduling in 9 teams.
But again, Thursdays. Especially on a nice summer night like what we had, even though it's technically spring.
I could be saying, why is the CFL having a game on a Wednesday this year? A regular season game on a Wednesday this year.
Could say that too. What's up with that?
You know.
But we digress.
No, yeah. The game itself, I was impressed. I mean, yes, the game was basically a laugher. Owls, I think, are up at 1.29 zip. It was close to being, I think, third. Having a... something called back because he fumbled the ball right before the goal line and then it went through Ottawa touched it before it went out of bounds. It's hard to gauge that. I guess we could say Darian Durant looked good.
He really did.
The time that he was in there, that he really did look good. The wide receiving core, I'm trying to bring up the stats here, the wide receiving core did look good. You know, actually, the stats really matter.
Yeah,
stats don't really matter.
What does matter is putting points on the board. And like I said, Darian Durant only played one quarter of football, but he was pretty solid. He looked like the Darian Durant of old, throwing touchdown passes to both Tyquan Underwood and BJ Cunningham, who, mark my words, is going to become a superstar in this league this year. I have every confidence in the world. Watching him develop like he has been outstanding, and I think he's really ready to assume that next level. I mean, everybody's excited about Ernest Jackson playing for the Alouettes, as well they should be, because he's a heck of a player. But I'm telling you right now, I have a feeling that BJ Cunningham is going to truly break out in the Canadian Football League this year.
So we're
going
to switch from one two-initial guy to another two-initial guy?
Don't be surprised.
Would be nice. Somebody's going to have to pick up the slack with SJ gone. Somebody's going to have to pick up the slack. I mean, it's him, Adron Carter... he's coming back to town on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And he already made a preseason highlight reel grab.
Oh yeah. And did I not say last year that someone was going to snap him up and we would probably end up regretting it? I could start on Thursday.
You know, anything is possible. I mean, it's, you know, Owls go 1-1 in the preseason. You know, they come back versus Toronto. They blow out Ottawa. You know, not even their starter at quarterback was there. They had a lot of, you know, Greg Ellickson stayed home. I think Brad Sinopoli stayed home.
Yeah. It was a real who's that of the Ottawa Red Blacks.
Well, you have your thing here. Your
lineup card?
Yeah, your lineup card. You needed it. You really did. I mean, the game itself was fine. I was happy to see what they did. It's just a matter of how did the backup quarterback situation look to you? You know, Vernon Adams, I guess, can we say he's the number two going in?
Absolutely. Again, he didn't look great in both of his preseason games. One thing I do have to notice in just watching his three games that he won last season for the Alouettes, and again with his two preseason showings, if you will, this year, Vernon's always been such a slow starter. It just feels like he starts out kind of slow, doesn't seem to inspire, but then almost like it's almost like a switch kind of goes off inside of him, and then all of a sudden he becomes this absolutely outstanding quarterback. And I saw a lot of that in, or I heard a lot about that in the first game, and then saw a lot of that in the second game. I mean, yeah, unfortunately, both games he threw at least one interception, but he also threw a touchdown against Ottawa. So at the end of the day, it's going to take time for Vernon. And let's not forget, the kid's not even 25 yet. He still has a ways to go. And thank God we have Anthony Calvillo just only solely focusing on quarterbacks this year. He's not the offensive coordinator. He doesn't have to worry about designing all these plays and everything like that. The only thing he has to worry about now is helping develop the next great quarterback. Something that, unfortunately, was not done several years ago, but better late than never. Now he's got the opportunity to take a real stud like Vernon Adams and make him into a great CFL quarterback. Why? Because he doesn't have to worry about Darren Durant. Darren Durant is more than capable of running the show by himself.
All right.
But if he gets hurt, who's stepping in? Who's going to step in? Vernon Adams. And the best way to develop this kid properly, to really make him a star, is not to throw him out in the fire and then get mad at him for not performing like they think he should have. This is the best way to bring him forward, develop him properly, and I tell you, everything I've seen in training camp, I've been pretty impressed with. The guy makes plays happen. It's just now a matter of, okay, when the lights are on and it's an actual game where it actually starts to count for something, that's the only concern I have, is that, yeah, a bit of a slow starter. But once he gets going, no worries, no problem. So I'm really hoping that this year, hopefully the Alouettes put themselves in a great situation with Darian, that he can put lots of points on the board, he can score lots of touchdowns, he could throw for lots of touchdowns, and the Alouettes can develop a good enough lead that, say, by the fourth quarter, you know what? Okay, Darian, grab a seat. Let the kid get some honest, true reps in. Not mop-up duty, not...
We don't know how Coach Chatelaine does his thing there when it comes to being blown. You know, preseason game's one thing where you're up 29-0, and you're able to bring in some of the other guys that you're looking to see how well that they do, whether it be you're against the first team or the second team. But it's... Yeah. It will be interesting. I hope we don't come to that point. having him come in as a mop-up role, I'm fine with that. You know, that means we'll be up. But I'm just curious to know how Coach Chatelaine does it himself. You know, gone are the days where AC stayed in forever.
Mm-hmm.
Where they, you know, where we had a capable backup quarterback in Adrian McPherson, he just didn't get the reps.
He really didn't.
And that's been a downfall of this Alouettes franchise.
It really has. So that's why I'm saying now you've got a prime opportunity. You've got a great quarterback in Darian Durant, a true leader, something that you've been sorely lacking since those days of Anthony Calvillo. Great. Perfect. That's exactly what the Alouettes teams need. Now, what about the future? Is it going to be Vernon Adams? I don't know. Is it going to be Jordan Corey Harris? I don't know. Is the next great Alouettes quarterback even in this league? Maybe. Maybe not. But this is the time now. Now that you have the quarterback position pretty well taken care of, this is the time. Either you've got your guy for the future or you don't. If you've got him, then you develop him properly. You give him every opportunity to succeed so that when Darian Durant decides to call it a career, no worries. You put this kid in, and he's ready to go. Or you start finding your next great quarterback, and you start developing him properly, and so on and so forth.
Well, we could do that. You know, we can always go the Josh Freeman route. We go ahead and bring a quarterback, work him out on the offside. You know, don't sign him, and make mention in the newspaper that we're possibly looking at signing him, and then let the Tiger Cats put him on their neg list.
Red Blacks, actually.
Was it Red Blacks? Or was it Tiger Cats?
Yeah, it was Red Blacks.
Was it Red Blacks? That was the Tiger Cats. Why didn't I think that?
Well, let's be honest. The Red Blacks, you know, they got to see Josh Freeman live as well. Not on the field, mind you. But Josh Freeman was actually at the Alouettes Red Blacks game this past Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, it is the A-rated. Sorry, my bad. Alouettes. Red Blacks was it? Red Blacks. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. It was the Tiger Cats who added Colin Kaepernick and RG3. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah. And hey, it's always fun to play fantasy in regards to adding all these guys to the neg list. But at the end of the day, I think what Montreal has in camp right now, as far as quarterbacks go, this quarterback roster of Darian Durant, Vernon Adams, Ja'Cory Harris, and Matthew Schultz, I think we've got something right there. In fact, I mean, from what I saw of Matthew Schiltz in the preseason, didn't have the greatest games as well. By the time he got in there, things were pretty well set in stone one way or another. But I think this kid's a gamer as well. And again, this could also too be the next great quarterback for the Alouettes. But you got to let him develop. You got to let him get some reps in. Whether it's, like, for now, he'll pretty much have to, you know, get like third, fourth reps, maybe hold the place kicker balls once in a while. If that's the case, then so be it. But at the same time, I really hope that he does get the opportunity to shine. If this organization really does believe in this kid, I hope he's given every opportunity to succeed. But at the end of the day, like, these are the decisions that Kavis Reed and Jacques Chaplin are going to have to really sit and consider. I always say you got to save for a rainy day. The fact that you have a Darian Durant, amazing. But
I think for the first time in quite a while, this will be a year where I, as an Alves fan, am going to need a scorecard. I really am, because these are a lot of new names that I don't know. You know, it's not a new team. It's just it's so many vets are gone that you used to know. You know, I was listening, you know, when they were announcing the defensive starters at the beginning of the preseason game, I was like, who? Oh, I know that one. Who? That's just going to be, I'm going to make sure I got to grab a scorecard when I come in on Thursday. So let's quickly talk about the drop dead day, June 16th and June 17th specifically. Of all the names that were released, they really didn't really release that many. So I guess we could go specifically with the 17th. Any real names besides Javon Johnson that you're like, what?
Well, the one name I was a little surprised to see was that of Danny Anthrop. He was part of the Alouettes rookie camp just before training camp actually opened, and he was pretty impressive. Got to see a little bit of him in camp as well, just making outstanding plays. So I was really, really surprised to see the Alouettes not at least offer him a spot on the practice roster. So I don't know what the ultimate decision was. I know he didn't get a whole lot of reps in the second preseason game. I honestly thought it was just because maybe they'd already made up their mind about him in a positive way.
I thought he played a lot in the fourth. He was playing second team in the fourth, though, wasn't he?
Well, a bit, but not, like I said, just I would have expected it a little bit more.
Okay. Same thing as, Javon Johnson was the same thing, actually. He got a lot of reps in the fourth, actually.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I was a little surprised to as well, because, I mean, this is a proven veteran. What's he out there trying to prove to everybody? But I guess he felt, maybe he kind of felt the axe was about to fall on him, and even though he had an outstanding pick to essentially end the game for the Alouettes,
right,
just wasn't good enough. It just comes down to you take a look at who you got in camp, and do your younger players have what it takes versus an established veteran? If they do, then yeah, you go ahead and you cut them. But I don't know. Like I said, I like Jovan. I thought he was a heck of a player for us. But once again, you've got to have faith.
Something about these free agents, these big free agents that we get a year prior that are not even here anymore.
Here today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Just want to remind everybody that if you don't remember, we are on social media, and we are on quite a few places, actually. Besides being able to see some things on the Canadian Football Podcast Network on their Twitter account, we have our own Twitter account. It's at Alouettes FL Deck. We are at Alouettes Flight Deck on Facebook. If you want to email us, you can do so also at alouettespodcast@gmail.com. And we are also, if you want to listen to any of our past episodes, all 23 of them, including this 24th, then you'll be able to go over to alouettesflightdeck.podbean.com.
Don't forget, you could also find us on iTunes and Google Play Music just by searching Alouettes Flight Deck.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true. That also. Keep forgetting about that one. Didn't write that one down. Final rosters. What's your gauging on the final rosters? I know you touched a little bit on it a little bit before, but overall, if you were to compare them, obviously, to the 2016 team.
I don't know if it's hard to say, because 2016 definitely did have some outstanding players on it, and I do believe strongly that this 2017 roster is going to be very competitive as well. I think what it comes down to now is the coaching more than anything else. Last year, we had Jim Popp as the coach,
yeah.
AC as the offensive coordinator, and Noel Thorpe as D coordinator. And then things just sort of... They didn't really feel like there was a whole lot of cohesion. Even though there is this sort of impetus to keep everybody together, to keep everybody happy, it ended up blowing up in everybody's face.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this year, we know for sure it's Jacques Chapdelaine's show. He's the boss. He's got the people that he wants in place. And I got to say, like just by watching that preseason game against Ottawa, again, taking full account of the fact that this was the Red Blacks taxi squad versus the Alouettes, essentially most of their starters. I just felt like this team just was more fluid, very cohesive, flowed nicely. I gotta say, I was very impressed with everything I saw, and I just see that momentum starting to carry over. And I'm very encouraged by what I see so far, and I'm going to be very excited to see what's going to be happening this Thursday when they take on the Saskatchewan Roughriders. I think it's going to be a really exciting game.
I was looking for the odds here. I know they were easy to find last year, and I'm trying to find out what the odds are, what were for the game coming up. Saskatchewan. It's a homecoming of sorts for a lot of people. Obviously from Daron Carter, coming home, so to speak. You got Darren Durant playing his old team. It seems to be when the Owls and the Rough Riders kick off the first game of the season, they always seem to put on a great show. And I know you, the one that I'm talking about specifically was that Grey Cup rematch back in 10. Yeah, in 10. And the infamous SJ Green catch.
Mm-hmm.
So these teams can know how to play. It's just interesting to see how these teams, not much to gauge. We'll be able to talk more, obviously, when it comes to the game itself once we see the game on Thursday, and be able to gauge this team a little bit more. But I really wish I was trying to find the lines here. What I thought was interesting, by the way, is that for the Alouettes, it's a higher value for the Owls under 10 wins this year versus a regular season wins over 10.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else here? Stays, don't give the lines in. Oh, well. We'll try to revisit that. But are we going to go the same route this year where we're just not going to pick a winner here for these games? Or are we just going to... Because obviously we're homers, but it's...
Which isn't a bad thing, by the way. I know our buddies over at the Piffles podcast was talking about what it means to be a homer versus being a fan or anything like that. And I had to laugh because, we support this Alouettes franchise, but not to the point where we're going to praise every single move and, never say anything bad. One thing we pride ourselves on is being objective.
Right.
I mean, like I said, Tim, I know, wasn't very happy with the Bear Woods release or the SJ Green trade.
I was pissed off about the SJ thing, but
but now you're not.
It's still simmering because obviously we want to see how these players do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit different with a Daron Carter versus an SJ Green. You see what SJ had to go through in order to come back, in order to just play in 2017. Obviously, you wish him well. It's just a matter of, look who he's playing for now. It's a divisional opponent. It's not really the same when it comes to Daron Carter because we only see them twice a year. Mm-hmm. Actually, we see them, first week and second to last week or something like that of the year. I can't remember when they're playing in Regina. Don't remember. Anyways, so it's a little bit different. And there's more to it because, you can go 1-1, you can go 2 versus the Western Division team, but it's, again, versus the divisional opponents that means the most. Mm-hmm. So,
and it's not just the divisional opponents, but the fact that the Toronto Argonauts really have added so many former Alouettes. I've actually seen online people really kind of leaning more towards Toronto in that sense. Hardcore Alouettes fans, well, I guess we're not really that hardcore if they're thinking about this, but just the idea that so many former Alouettes are now a member of the Toronto Argonauts, it's part of you is kind of conflicted. Like, yeah, you want to be an Alouettes fan, but so many of your favorites are now playing in double blue. So which way do you go? I guess a lot of fans must be wondering themselves. I'm of the opinion that, you know what, it's team over everything else. I mean, yeah, like I said, I'm going to miss a lot of these guys that are now playing for the Argos and playing for other teams, but now is a chance for developing new fandoms for these players. And again, it's not like we're getting a bunch of no-name players on the Alouettes. I mean, again, Ernest Jackson. Mm-hmm. He helped the Red Blacks win the Grey Cup.
That's right, yeah.
Javon Olafoye, an all-star every single year he's played in the Canadian Football League. Also former Grey Cup champion. Jabbar Westerman, an absolutely outstanding defensive player. Keith Schulligan, who has won Grey Cups as well.
We were talking about the Mark Trestman effect. Would you consider this the Cavis Reed effect? Because Cavis Reed, do you think he's more known than Coach Chapdelaine would be? You know, Jim Popp is able to bring in people because of who he was. He was Jim Popp. Is this a Cavis Reed thing?
Oh, absolutely it's a Cavis Reed thing. Because, again, Cavis has a great reputation as being a real players coach. So even when he was just the special teams coach in Montreal, he always had sort of a bit of an authoritative feel, and he really connected with the players. Like, he was their guy, and that's the one thing that has always been a trait, if you will, for Cavis Reed, is that he's like, his players will stick their hand in fire for him, and I think he realizes that and he knows that, and the fact that he can use that to his advantage as far as bringing in certain players. It's not just a matter of throwing the most money at someone and hope that they'll sign with you. You've also got to be able to look those players in the eye and say, listen, we're building something here. We're building a new regime, a new destiny, if you will. And we want you to be a part of that. For a lot of players, like, that's huge.
Yeah.
The chance to resurrect the Alouettes, to, you know, make the Alouettes a true contender again. Like, a lot of players are going to take that as a challenge and say, yeah, sign me up. I'm there. I want to be with this guy. I want to be a part of something special. And I think that's where, like, you look at a lot of these players that we signed, and keeping the certain players that we did, like Nick Lewis and Luc Brodeur-Jourdain, like, keeping that still that veteran presence. And again, these guys are also very much loved by Alouettes fans as well.
Don't forget Angry Bird.
Oh yeah, Kyrie Saint-Barrett, like I said, the Benjamin Button of the CFL. He gets older but looks younger every year. I don't know how he does it. And Stephon Logan, let me go back to the train camp just a little bit. The guy's 36 years old, and he's got wheels like you wouldn't believe it. And I asked him again. I said, Stephon, do you have like the fountain of youth or something high? Like, what is it? Why are you still so fast and still so athletic? You know, and you're on the wrong side of 30. He's like, just good genes, man. Just good genetics. I'm like, no, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be, you got to like have a goat placenta or a virgin honey or something. I don't know what, anything, but like, what is it? And he wouldn't tell me, so maybe it's just as well. But I mean, for a guy, like I said, 36 years old, like I'm just a little bit older than that, and there's no way in hell I'm going to run even close to fast as what he does. So for him to be able to do that, he's playing like he's 26, not 36.
Well, I'm on the wrong side of 40, and after the our little escapade there with Tanner Marsh and during his football camp, I don't have any secrets. I don't have any secrets at all.
Yeah, there comes a certain time when you know that football has passed you by, and I think it's definitely passed both Tim and I, but it hasn't passed Stephon Logan by yet. And I gotta say, that props to that guy, because for him to still be able to play this game at this level at his age is nothing short of outstanding.
Yeah. Now, we have quite a bit that we want to that we want to do in 2017. And we just want to make mention of it before we finish up this this episode. We're looking at we're in the talks for a few things right now. We're not going to say anything. We're going to keep that a secret because obviously we don't want to jinx it. But we'll revisit that if that comes to fruition. Also, we're going to try. We are going to keep up with Steve Daniel, who is our stats insider of the CFL, in just the stats. A segment. We hope to have him on more regularly this year. Also, we're going to try to do more interviews. We seem to have been given the thumbs up from the Alouettes organization that we can do as many interviews as possible, just as long as they are the players are available. and when they can be done. So I know Cliff and I are actually quite excited with that, to be able to have more players and coaches, etc., on the podcast this year.
There's no question. And folks, if there's anybody that you want us to talk to, please let us know. Get on Twitter, hit us up at @AlouettesFLDeck. Let us know who you want on the show, and we're going to do everything in our power to make it happen, because, again, this show is about you, the fans. If there's somebody you want to talk to, you want to talk to a certain player, want to know what certain coaches are thinking at certain times,
yeah,
if you want to know just anything about the organization, somebody that you want to hear from directly, you let us know, and I promise you we will do everything in our power to make it happen.
That's right. So we are looking, obviously, forward to a great 2017 season, not only for the Alouettes, but for the CFL on the road to Ottawa for the Grey Cup. We will be here each week talking about the Alouettes and what else is going on in the CFL for you, the fans. So for everybody here at the Alouettes Flight Deck, for Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. We're on Final Approach. Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.